I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Elijah the prophet must be weeping. Those words came from a Roman Catholic chaplain in the U.S. Army after he learned about the destruction of St. Elijah's Monastery in Iraq. The monastery had stood as a place of worship for 1,400 years, but satellite photos published by the Associated Press this week show that the stone buildings have been leveled completely. ISIS now controls much of Iraq and Syria, and it has carried out a campaign to erase anything from the region's history that doesn't jibe with their extremist interpretation of Islam. St. Elijah's is only one part of the story. ISIS has also killed thousands of civilians. But we want to talk about what's happening to the region's cultural heritage for the next few minutes. Michael Peppard is with the Department of Theology at Fordham University. To start off, Michael, what went through your mind when you read about what happened to St. Elijah's?
Numb, I would say. Despair, sadness, the tragedy that has been taking place among civilians in Syria and Iraq is paralleled now by what we're seeing with destruction of cultural heritage. And when we see a building like that, in which Christians had worshipped so many years ago, completely razed to the ground, completely flattened, the feeling is just loss of an ancient Christian heritage.
We've seen videos of ISIS fighters destroying historical sites like the one at Palmyra, but apparently they're also trying to profit from the antiquities of the Middle East. What are they doing exactly?
What we've been seeing over the last few years, two different ways of treating Christian antiquities or other antiquities that don't fit within a very constricted notion of culture that ISIS is promulgating. On the one hand, they're destroying monumental items, things like St. Elijah's Monastery, things like in Mosul and Syria, destroying buildings and statues. On the other hand, anything that is portable, that has been discovered, for example, through a systematized looting operation, is being monetized and used as a currency and sold abroad. And the State Department is reporting that this is probably the second largest source of income, and with the drop in oil prices, is perhaps even becoming one of the major sources of income for ISIS.
If they're actually selling off artifacts in terms of artistic preservation, could that be kind of good news anyway?
Well, it's a good question. There is a sense that if you have an object-oriented understanding about artifacts, that is, preserving the object is the most important thing, then I guess having it out of the ground and in someone's hands is a good thing. That being said, there's also a sense in which this feeds a continued black market and feeds a continued cycle of corruption. And so most people who study antiquities and do archaeology would say absolutely not. We don't want these things happening. The one final point I would also make is that these artifacts are important to Syrian national identity and Iraqi national identity. And when they get sent out of the country, most of them are never coming back. Most of them are going to go to private collectors, and they will not see the light of day, either by scholars or by folks in Syria and Iraq.
Now, during his State of the Union address, President Obama mentioned conflicts that date back millennia, referring to the Mideast. And some have pointed out that the conflicts are actually much more recent. Your research, though, suggests that hundreds of years ago, religious life in the Mideast didn't have much conflict at all. Tell us more about that.
What we find, for example, in a town like Dura Europos in eastern Syria on the Euphrates, which is a city that I wrote about in my book, we find there a really shocking amount of cultural pluralism, and in language, in ethnicity, in religion, where you have the earliest Christian building that we have near one of the oldest synagogues that we have, near temples devoted to gods from Persia and gods from Greece and gods from Rome, and yes, the God of Judea. So we have an awful lot of religious diversity in a walled city that's roughly the size, I don't know, of New Haven, Connecticut, a very kind of compact downtown. And there are many other cities like that around Syria, Apamea, closer to the coast, that were quite cosmopolitan. Later in Christian history, even when Christianity engaged with Islam in the 8th and 9th centuries, there was still a very robust religious pluralism in Syria and in Iraq, where you have Arabic-speaking Christians, Syriac-speaking Christians engaging with the Muslim counterparts of their day.
So back in the present day, Michael, obviously the loss of human life at the hands of ISIS is the most appalling thing that's going on with that group. But the big picture from someone who studies history, what do we lose when so many historic sites and artifacts are being erased by civil war and extremism?
Well, as you say, the loss to human life is, of course, the most important, and Westerners and Western Christians should never lose sight of that. That being said, the loss of specific artifacts, specific buildings, and specific ritual practices from the people of Syria and the people of Iraq is very difficult to replace. It's hard enough to continue a longstanding tradition when you're in the place where it lives. And it becomes even more difficult through a diaspora, through a process of travel with refugees, when they can't necessarily return back and draw the spirit of the land and of the place.
Michael Peppard of Fordham University. He's the author of The World's Oldest Church, Bible, Art, and Ritual at Dura Europos, Syria. Michael, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.